Welcome to the January 5th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and the sermon is entitled, Making Time to Serve, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
That God would get the glory from our lives. What a way to start off a new year, a new sermon series. And I pray that you're excited about it as much as I am. I want you to know that I never come to this pulpit without God working me over first. So the messages that you hear funnel through my heart and my ears and my mind and process through me before they ever reach you. Now look, I'm not a perfect filter. But I want you to know that as I preach every sermon, it is not to you, it is from God to us, His people. And so, with that, I open a new sermon series today entitled The Call to Serve. The Call to Serve, and the first message title that I want to bring to you today is this, Making Time to Serve. Making Time to Serve. Welcome to 2025. I want you to know, I'm going to tell a little bit about my age, okay? Now, some of you look here and say, oh, you're just a young whippersnapper. 25 years ago, I graduated high school. So I've got that behind me. Some of you could say that, and some of you could add a few years to it. But here's what I realize. I understand I'm getting into, I don't know if it is the prime or not, but I think I'm past the prime of life, but I'm getting to understand the importance of each day, of each year, of time in general, because as we understand it, it goes so quickly. Whether you realize it or not, this is the 25th year of this century. It is the 116th year in the life of Clifford Baptist Church. 116 years old this year, and some of you will remember this. This is the 20th year in this sanctuary. So many times y'all tell you, meet me in the new sanctuary. The new sanctuary is 20 years old, okay? But it's funny how we hold on to what used to be and realize now that it has gained age through the passing of time. And so we are told through God's word how important redeeming the time is. And here's what Paul writes to two different people in Ephesians. He says we must redeem the time because the days are evil. So why is it important to redeem the time? Because evil is all around us. Now, you don't need me to preach that to understand that it is there. But also, he writes to the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 5, that we need to redeem the time and walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Let me translate that for you. There are lost people, and we don't have much time. So because there are lost people, and because there are evil people, the church must redeem the time and redeem it well. And so today, we enter this sermon with a challenge throughout the next 6 weeks or so. And that is this. Here's the challenge. Every person, whether you are a member or you consider Clifford Baptist Church your church home, pray about, seek one place where you can serve and serve well. That's the challenge with this sermon. If everybody in this room had one job and you did it without fail, God would indeed get the glory because He has done great things. And so that is the challenge through my life, but to you from God, that we are to serve and serve well. Now, what is the challenge of serving through this sermon? It is this, that issue of time. Whether you realize it or not, our families are busier than ever. Our jobs demand more than ever. Our bodies are playing out faster than ever. And whatever situation that you find yourself in, somehow the joy of serving our God is failing. And it happens in the church. How can something like that happen in doing good things for our Lord? Well, today, through a very important message, an important family, I believe God is going to challenge every one of us. And here's what I'm going to challenge you. As you pray, where, God, do you want me to serve in my church family? Pray about serving as a family. My teenage boys don't necessarily like when I drag them along to do things that Jeffrey feels like he should do. You understand? You know, Dad, God's called you to that, not me, right? But every now and then, I've got my youngest got his learners. So over Christmas, he has been volunteering to be my chauffeur to the hospital and to visit. I've got somebody to help me now. Well, here's the reality. Some of us are just like that. We are reluctant. We are hesitant. We're not sure about where God wants us. We're scared to say yes. And here's what I want you to understand. You're not only missing out on blessing somebody in the name of Jesus, but you're missing out receiving the blessing in the name of Jesus. Two sisters, Mary and Martha. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter number 10. I'm going to shed the coat today. Somebody turned up the heat in here. I know it's calling for snow, but anyway, I'll make it through it, I guess. Luke chapter number 10. You have heard the sister duo of Mary and Martha, and they're going to teach us three simple words today about their life and about what they are doing together. Now, I'm grateful for this family. Here's what you need to understand. Jesus loves this family, and this family loves Jesus. And I hope you can relate to them simply on that aspect. They love Jesus, and Jesus loves them. But Luke chapter 10, there are five verses. I'm going to read all of them up front first as we get in our message today. Luke chapter 10, starting with verse number 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. As we begin the 10th chapter of Luke, the 70 have been divided into groups of two and have been sent out at the beginning of the chapter. And now this group of 70 have been given power even over the enemy. So he has broken them up, he has sent them out, and he teaches a little bit later on the Good Samaritan, and then he makes his way to see this family in the certain village. Now, we know a little bit about this village. It is named Bethany by John, but it is the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And you understand this family. Everybody remembers that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You know that story. So you can read about that. You know how much he loved this family. But far before he raises Lazarus, he meets Mary and Martha in their home. How many of you know there's no place more comfortable to a human being than their own space or their own home? Amen? And so for Jesus to come on their territory and meet them in their house, Jesus should have not never walked in a woman's house alone. I don't do that. But here, he meets these sisters on their territory, in the most private place of their life, and he is ready to minister and to teach these sisters something. He loves this family. They love him. Like I said, he raises Lazarus after 4 days of being dead, but we find ourselves in the home of Martha, and Jesus is there to minister. But these two sisters, how does Jesus find them? Look again at what we have read in verse number 38. We see that Jesus is received into Martha's house. And in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she come and help me." How are they found? Well, as Jesus enters the house, Martha is found busy. She's working, she's preparing, she's doing things, and Mary is just simply sitting down. So, when we understand this principle, there are three words. These are the 3 points. You can go ahead and write them down. When we talk about making time, when we talk about serving the Lord, 3 words come to mind: distractions, duty, or devotion. Distractions, duty, or devotion. As we talk about the first word, distractions, we see in verse number 40 that Martha was cumbered about with so many things. She had so much, and I'm not blaming her. I'm not talking bad about her. If Jesus showed up to your house today, you'd probably be straightening up a little bit too. You'd probably be offering to cook or share something for or get something for him to drink. You would try to be hospitable to Jesus. And that is what Martha is doing. When we talk about making time to serve our Lord, we must first look at this. What commands the most of our time? Now, I started to bring 3 bowling pins up here and do a little juggling act for you, but I can't juggle. But here's what I want you to know. Most of you, your schedules, your life, the kids, the wife, the husband, the job, you feel like you're in the circus. You're trying to juggle and trying to put forth your very best effort. And a lot of times, it probably feels like my literal juggling, it all falls to the floor. How do I know what to prioritize? How do I know where to put my time and my best efforts? But here's what you need to know. The truth is this, that if Satan can't get to you, Satan will distract you. If he can't get to you, his best weapon is distraction. Get your eyes off of God, and then he has you. And so we see, what are the biggest distractions for us? For me, 6 out of 7 days, my alarm is set for 6 a.m. Most of the mornings, I beat that alarm up. The alarm doesn't even go off. I'm up before 6 o'clock. But on Sunday mornings, when that alarm wakes me up, I hit that snooze and I'm like, I wish I just had a few more. The easiest day to sleep in for the pastor is Sunday morning. Sleep feels like I need a little bit more on Sunday. Now, maybe you feel the same way, but what gets in the way on Sunday mornings and why we don't attend Sunday school? We want our kids to be strong Christians, but we don't want to take the time to make sure they learn about Jesus in Sunday school. Bring your kids to church. Don't point at the church when it all goes wrong if you won't invest your time to bring your children to church. What happens on Sunday mornings or Wednesdays when it gets so busy that we would rather sit than serve, or we would rather go to sleep than worship, or we would rather make up some excuse? The word here in verse 40 is cumbered. That word simply means this: hampered, hindered, obstructed, or simply distracted. Something gets in the way. Martha is so busy with other things other than recognizing Jesus is in her house. There's pots to wash, there's floors to clean, there's things to do, and yet there is the Son of God in her house. This morning, what's distracting you? What are you cumbered with that you simply can't do? One of the greatest battles that we all face as believers is the battle against flesh and spirit. And here's what Paul says in chapter 7 of Romans. I know that in me dwells no good thing. He says this, the good that I want to do, I don't do that. And the evil I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. We constantly have to search our hearts to allow them to be cleansed and led by the will of God. Now back to Jesus and Mary and Martha. Martha's home is the centerpiece of this meeting. Martha continues on to focus on the task that she has to do to the point where the distraction now becomes frustration. Stay with me here. She is serving, she is busy, she is doing what needs to be done, and now she becomes frustrated. Look again with me at verse number 40. It says, Martha was cumbered, or she has a lot of things that are going on, cumbered by much serving, and she came to him, which is Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, I'm going to go off, and hopefully I might just be talking about my family. But usually siblings don't need encouragement to butt heads. It just happens. I can't explain it. It happens in my family, and I know it happens in your family. But we see Martha is mad at Mary, and she says, Jesus, what's going on? What's going on here? My sister's left me to do it all, and she's just over there sitting down. Not only that, at the end of verse number 40, tell her to come help me. Jesus, you tell her to come help me. It'll mean more. I hope you get what's going on. Distractions can completely become frustration if we're not careful, even if we're doing a good thing. So many things rob the joy that we should have. And the busyness can crowd in and begin to steal the blessing of serving. And I want to make this clear today. I'm not getting on Martha. Martha serving, there is nothing wrong with that. Martha serving and complaining and questioning Jesus, the attitude behind the serving is what's wrong here. She's so caught up with the work that she's missing Jesus standing in her own home. Listen to me before I move on. Some good Christians are so distracted that they're missing the blessing of Jesus' presence. Be careful. You could be doing all the right things, all the good things, all the necessary things, and still miss Jesus. Don't get distracted. Don't get frustrated. Maybe the better question is this: what is distracting and what is frustrating you in your opportunities to serve? I believe it all boils down to a heart issue. There are two ways that you can serve. And the first way that you can serve is you can serve out of duty. That's the second word of the day. Duty. Your love of Jesus should be a primary motivator of why you do what you do. But love quickly turns to duty if you're not careful. How many of you started a career because you loved what you were doing? Maybe it was teaching or nursing. Maybe even a pastor. You started the career, you loved what you were doing,
And then something happens that you wake up one day and you dread doing what you are doing. See, we can relate to that on the job side of things because I see a lot of nodding heads. But what about on the God side of things? Why do you do what you do when you have been hurt or burnt out or just don't understand? You know that quickly serving within the church can even feel like it is becoming a duty. Maybe today you're burned out. Maybe you're not doing what you feel like you should be doing. Maybe you aren't gifted in the area that somebody twisted your arm to say, yes, I'll do that. If you serve with the wrong heart, it quickly becomes frustration and you quickly get distracted. Duty is not the reason that you should serve. Now listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. This is the verse that is outside. It's the verse over top of this series. It is this: for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Here's the reality of it. God created you. He made you. Every one of you. And your life should bring glory to God in some way. He has created you as His workmanship to give Him glory, and your life should give glory in everything that you do. Why is it frustrating? What are the distractions? Why does it feel like I'm doing something that I really don't want to do? When you serve out of duty, you lose the love. If love of Jesus is not the primary motivator, can I be honest with you, church? I wouldn't be where I am today. I don't stand here because I necessarily have all the answers or because I like all of you or because we all get along or because it's all hunky-dory. If you get into ministry, you will quickly learn it ain't all hunky-dory. Because you're dealing with people. I said yes to Jesus before I said yes to this. And some of us, instead of saying yes to the position or to the committee, you need to say yes to Jesus first. Because you truly cannot serve out of duty and honor God. You've got to serve out of love. And so today, Mary's question is amazing. I don't have time to get any deeper into it, but is this: she has the audacity to ask Jesus, do you even care that my sister left me? And Jesus, do you even care that I'm serving alone? Like Jesus don't know what's going on in her heart. When you serve, if you are serving out of duty, it becomes a very, very lonely feeling. But if you serve out of love, then it becomes a great opportunity that God would get the glory. So today, real quickly, you may can relate to Martha. If you are serving and you are doing it because you feel like you have to do it. You may feel like, Martha, if you serve for reasons other than glorifying God, if you're glorifying a title or you looking to glorify yourself, you're in it for the wrong reason. You may can relate to Martha if you do it because you have to and it feels duty. Duty becomes discouragement very, very quickly. You cannot serve out of duty. You must serve out of love. There's one more word. It's devotion. As I said a little bit earlier, if Jesus showed up to your house, you might feel like you've got to do a lot. But listen, here's the reality. You can't get your life in any perfect condition before a holy Savior. It's only by the grace of God. So if you're trying to get it all straight before you let Jesus in, that's your issue. And that's Martha's issue. Her home is a picture of her life. It's so busy, it's so distracted, it's so trying to get everything in the right place that Jesus is standing in her living room and she is about to miss the Holy Son of God. And for some of us today, when we think about the need to serve and to entertain and to do, you cannot do enough. The most important thing in Martha's life was being overlooked. Look at verses 41 and 42. So remember, she's questioning Jesus. You've left me here alone. Will you tell my sister to help me out? And he says in verse number 41, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. How many of you know that when your mom or dad says your name more than once, you're in trouble? What happens if Jesus says your name more than once? You better listen. Martha, 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 you better pay attention. You're missing something here. And what we see, many things are distracting, many things are troubling her, but there is one thing that is needful or necessary that she is not doing. And all the things she is doing, she's missing the one thing that is most important. Look at me, church. I'm not asking you how much you do. I'm just asking you to do what God has called you to do. The greatest way to serve Jesus is through the local church. Now, I'm going to get away from my notes and maybe on a tangent here. I believe every Christian should be a part of a local church. That's the best place to serve Jesus. But in doing that, Martha was so busy and concerned about what Mary wasn't doing, but Mary was the blessed one and Martha was the busy one. She was doing that one thing that could not be taken from her as she sat at Jesus' feet. Look back at verse number 39 real quick. It says this, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Write this down. It's one thing to sit at Jesus' feet. It's a whole new level to hear and to understand and to process the Word of God. Look at me, church. It's one thing to sit here as the church, to hear it. It's another thing to go out and let it affect your life. Here's what happened. Both of them probably heard the Word. Mary worshiped. Martha was busy working. So today, how do we make time? What's distracting you? Now, I did not write down all the stuff in my, I did not say all the stuff in my margin because I did not want to get into too much trouble. In my own life, before my family and before my God, here's some things that get in my way. Myself, the schedules of my kids and my family, my responsibilities with my job, my responsibilities at the church. How many times do we sit at home and maybe even in our prayer closet say, God, I don't even feel like I want to do this anymore. So we pick up the phone and we call the pastor, we call the nominating committee, say, just take me off the list, and we never serve again. It starts with you. That's what Jesus is trying to tell Martha. Martha, 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 you've got to listen. You're concerned about so many other things. You're missing the one thing that is most important. The one thing that is most important in every life is that God would get the glory out of all that we do. It's not, listen, I stand here a sports day. It's not the ball games. I've coached the championship team, and those teams are forgotten about. God is not. Now, I'm not speaking bad about sports. Some of you are going to watch the Commanders and Cowboys a little bit later. But here's what I want to say. There are things that are distracting from the one thing that is important. What is getting in your way? And sooner or later, you will have to make a hard decision of which one you will serve, either God or the world. Martha, Martha, which one? Which one will you choose? The most important thing today, as I close this service down, is this: you must meet with Jesus regularly. It's more important than anything you will ever do. You must meet Him every single day, even multiple times during the day. You must meet with Jesus. If you are not at His feet, if you are not worshiping, the work does not matter. It will be for your glory, not His. The second thing is this: you can be too busy, too distracted, or too focused on yourself that you miss Jesus when He is right there. That's a lesson that needs to be learned here. If you're too distracted, too busy, you're gonna miss Jesus. And the third thing today is this: doing doesn't mean you are a disciple. You have to sit at the feet sometimes. You've got to learn. You've got to worship. You've got to look to God sometime. You've got to spend time there. Just because you're doing doesn't mean you're a disciple. And so here's my plea. I challenge you with the one thing. And it comes from this sermon. There's some of you that are doing too many things at Clifford Baptist Church. Yes, the pastor said that. And there are so many things. So here are the levels. You can do too many things. You can do one thing and do it well. Or you can do nothing. Where do you want to be? It's a new year. It's a new time. Same God. God has not changed. The calendar has, God has not. Is it going to be too many things? Is it going to be the one thing that's important? Or is it going to be nothing? What will you do? I said that, and I've got to look in the mirror. I know it is easy to look at this story and pick out which one you are. I told my mom to watch today. She's probably watching right now. Because she has a servant's heart. But there's so much you miss if you stay too busy. As I look in the mirror, if every one of us done one thing and one thing well, God would get the glory. God would get the glory. So today, distractions, duty, or devotion, how do you serve? Pray through this sermon. Pray through this day. Pray through opportunities for the Lord to use you. Pray for your church family. But here's what was lacking: the joy of Jesus. And if you're missing the joy of Jesus, you need dedicated time with Him in Bible study. You need dedicated time in prayer. And you need deliberate tasks. You need something to do to glorify Jesus. Now, maybe there's somebody in here that is missing the Jesus that we're talking about. You can do a lot of good things. There are a lot of good civic organizations out there. But there is nothing like serving your Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not throwing stones. I'm not taking anything away. A lot of good things. You can put your time in those buckets, but if you're not putting your time, if you're missing Jesus and you're sitting in the room, here's the true story. Jesus loves you enough that He took your sin to an old rugged cross and He died for you. He died in your place. That you could have a relationship with Him. Not only did He die, He rose on the third day that we could live for Him and glorify Him all the days of our life, not just on this earth, but for all eternity. Today, if you're missing Jesus as Savior, I simply want to tell you this: He's here. Repent of your sin. By faith, come to Him, claim Him as your Lord, and live out your life for Him for the rest of your days. How will we make time, church? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank You for this moment of invitation, God. And I pray, Lord, that in these moments that You will lead and guide, that Your Holy Spirit will be at work. Lord, we thank You for Your Word and the challenging words that come from it. Thank You for Martha's heart of service. But Lord, I pray, Lord, there are so many that have a heart of service that still miss Jesus. Lord, for that one that needs You in this place, Lord, we pray that You will work on that heart. Lord, for Christians, brothers and sisters in this room and watching live stream, Lord, we pray, Lord, that You will challenge us and grow us with Your Word. We give You this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.